Shall we just bow down our heads as we pray? And
thank you. Wow. Okay. Father in heaven, we bless your holy name and we thank you for this opportunity to share your word and just pray for the hearts who are here this evening. Pray for the minds as well. And Lord, I just invite you to come and take over everything that is about to happen here. Each and every one of us, we come with our own questions and our own inquiries before you. And my prayer is that you, O Lord, will meet us at the point of our needs, Lord. And that we do not walk out of the four corners of this building still not sure what you are doing or what you are about to do or if you've already done it already. So Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Great. I'm speaking from Matthew 16, 13 to 20, and the title of the sermon today is Go and Be the Church. Go and be the church. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 16, and we read from verse 13 to 20. Matthew 16, 13 to 20, and I read, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one what he was. They should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Here in this scripture, we see Jesus ask a question of his disciples, wanting to inquire what people knew of him or what people were saying about him. I know as a church, we've been talking about the church or being the church. And I believe strongly that the end time church is a church that needs to walk in revelation and not just intellectual understanding of what the scripture says. It is not enough if all we have is our intellect and what the text is saying, but what God is saying currently in our day-to-day life. Because Hebrews tells us that the word of God is living and is powerful. And we want it to be living in our current situation, speaking and ministering into our current events as well. Jesus reveals both his identity and the foundation of his church. Not a building, but a community of people who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. I like the way the Message translation puts it. It said, Jesus came back and said, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I am going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. Jesus, as I said earlier on, has this intimate conversation with his disciples, asking them, who do people say I am? Jesus reveals his true identity and then defines the church as not a building, but its people, rooted in a revelation from the Father. Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." This message is about being the church, not merely attending one. The church is a living, breathing, spirit-led people who walk in revelation, authority, and power. Church, the current situation of our church requires each and every one of us to have a deep reflection of what is going on. We cannot continue to just come to church every Sunday, and when we walk out of this building, we leave everything we know about Jesus, and we don't impact the world that we go out into. Jesus did not call us only to fill this space. He called us to be able to go into the marketplace, which is why he says a time is coming where you need to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the utmost part of the world. It's amazing today we've seen videos of some of our members in Estonia declaring the gospel of God and seeing 20 people give their lives to Christ. But in the last few months, how many people have we personally brought before the Lord? How many people have we personally been the mouthpiece of Jesus, witnessed to? And I believe strongly that beyond us telling people that Jesus loves them, beyond us reading scriptures to them and saying you'll be healed by his stripes, you'll be healed, we have to come to a place where we receive revelation as to how to minister to these people. We have to receive understanding as to how to counsel, as to how to speak into the situations that are going on in and around our society and community as well. And when we find ourselves in our workplaces as well, we should be that shining light that speaks of God's wisdom in and amongst all the confusion that is being spoken through the intellect of men. One, the church begins with a revelation of Christ. Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" Peter receives revelation directly from the Father. The church's foundation is not human opinion, but the revealed identity of Christ. The truth here is that the church is built on revelation, not traditions. And so there comes a time, even in the body of the church, where traditions have to strip off. And what Jesus is saying in the season has to be maintained. And when we sing songs like, "Let every other name fade away, Jesus, take your place." We've sung songs tonight like, "We'll shout Jesus on the mountain." Do we do that? Or do we make an excuse for why we can't shout Jesus on the mountain? Or better still, if not on the mountain, we'll shout Jesus on the streets. How often do we shout Jesus on the streets? And I hope tomorrow when we go out on our prayer walk, we shout Jesus on the streets. We declare boldly and ask people to come so that we can minister to them, we can pray for them, we can teach them the gospel. Because we are not on the streets on our own accord, we are on the street because Jesus has instructed us to do so. Amen. The church is built on the rock. The rock is not Peter, but the truth he confessed. Jesus is the Christ. The church stands firm only when rooted in Christ, not in personalities and programs. Church, we can have all the programs, people will come, but people will still leave the church. We can have all the lovely coffees and cakes and everything, which is good, because we've got to be hospitable. But outside all of that, if these people are not set free, like our sister said, if these people are not delivered from the principalities, the challenges that they are struggling with, that they are wrestling with, their weaknesses, then all what they hear is the word we tell them, which is without power. But Jesus in scripture tells us that the kingdom of God is not only in works, but is also demonstrated in power. So where is the power? Why have we left the power alone? And all that we do is share the word. Amen. Christ alone is the unshakable foundation. Is your faith resting on Christ or shifting sand? Is our faith resting on Christ or shifting sand? We are the church, not the building. The church is a people, not a place. And in other words, we refer to it as the ecclesia. Called out ones. You see, in old Greek, when we talk about the ecclesia, that was where people came together and made decisions as to how to govern, how to rule a community or a society. Ashindin, are you ready to take over this community? Are you ready to become the system that governs the way this community breathes, the way this community revolves? It wouldn't take just reading scriptures. It would take seeking the face of God and asking Him for revelation as to how to deal with the issues that are going on in this place. How to break down the strongholds, how to release people from the shackles of the enemy. You don't just have to come to church. You should be the church. What we do here on a Sunday is to give you a top up of what you're already doing in the rest of the week. If all you do is come here every Sunday and go back home and you are not shifting anything, because it tells us that if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved. It is time we begin to look at some of these mountains in and around our own lives and in and around our communities and begin to pray till we see it shift.
Amen.
If it's going to take us 5 years, let's do that. Because at least that's the demonstration of what our faith looks like. The church is God's presence carried through His people. Live as God's temple every day, not just on Sundays. The church has authority to advance God's kingdom. The key here is authority to bind, loose, and establish heaven's will. Jesus entrusted this authority to His church. The people. Church, we are not supposed to be passive, but we are supposed to be powerful. The question I ask us this evening is that, are we exercising kingdom authority or leaving the keys unused? We've got the keys, but we've refused to use them. Or better still, we've got the keys, but we don't even know which doors they are for. And so we walk around with these keys dangling around us, but we can't open any doors. The doors that people are knocking, and all we can tell them is that God will do a new thing. When? After they are dead and gone. Church, this is not to disrespect anybody here. But when we look around, there are very few young people here. I said it recently when I was in Ashington the last time. And I put that same question back to us again. What are we doing? Just like we can store up good investments for our children to inherit. Just like we can leave properties for them. What are we leaving for them to inherit concerning the kingdom of God? If we are no more, upon what foundation are they going to stand? Is it firm enough to survive 5 years after we are gone? Or will it fizzle out 2 months after we've been buried? Will the gates of Hades prevail over the church in Ashington? The church is supposed to be unstoppable. Because it tells us that the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Gates are defensive. The church is supposed to be on the offensive.
Amen.
And it is time for us to rise up. We are told that from the times of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and violent men took it by force.
Amen.
You know, what happened then was that people were seeking John the Baptist in the wilderness. It wasn't a pleasant place to be looking for a man of God. What message did he carry that people were looking for him in the wilderness? Ashington is not too far for people to come. You are not excluded from the community. You are positioned well and right in this season to attract people. But if all we give them is the word of God, they know it already. I believe many people are under the spell, are under so many other things that we need to liberate them. one of the challenges I put to us this evening is that we go back and we ask the Lord what is going on in this community. And ask him, how do we use the keys that we've got? Whilst we were praying in there, I saw a revelation of the roofs opening up. And I said, it doesn't make sense. But right now, as I'm speaking to you, Ashenden, I believe, is to become that place where people will need access to come in. And it reminds me of the verse when Jesus was speaking and performing miracles, and they brought this man on the bed, and there was no access to the entrance. And these good brothers or these good friends found a ladder to climb up onto the roof, take off the towels, and drop this sick person in the middle of the congregation so that Jesus can heal this person. I believe that is what the Lord wants to do here in Ashenden. Where what used to be a gathering of very few people carries so much potential and so much power of the presence of God that people cannot walk away from it. Just look at the houses around this place. Why are they home? What is on TV? I haven't watched TV in a long time. So interest me, what's on TV? What's on Netflix? Because it's become boring, I've heard. The best of animations for the little ones is moving differently right now, so you can't even expose your children to it. You barely leave them on YouTube for 5 minutes and something ugly is showing up. So what are people watching at home? That they can't come out for like an hour or two and just hear the word of God. We've got to ask some questions of ourselves and bring it back before the Lord and ask the Lord, how do we position ourselves for your glory to rest on us?
Amen.
Because the glory of the Lord needs to be here.
Amen.
My prayer is that the Lord, before I even say this prayer, the church, the true church, always prevails. So, we shouldn't be retreating in fear, but advancing in faith. And my prayer is that the Lord will give us the boldness to live in victory, not in defeat. But earlier on, Dean said something about walking in unity and forgiveness. You see, I can't remember the verse, but the early church, when they began to explode, there was nothing like race. There was nothing like tribe or where you come from or what's going on with you. But the moment the enemy found a root into them was when murmuring began to happen in the church. What we need to do is run a spiritual diagnostics of ourselves and what is causing this church to leak of the anointing that has been prayed over it. What we need to find out is to run a CT scan on this church and find out where are the issues. What loophole did the enemy find to come into our midst by way of behaviors, by way of attitudes that are not pleasing before the Lord? And begin to deal with it. Because the glory of the Lord is that when the oil falls from the head down to the beard, down to the edge of the garment, it flows down. It is a demonstration of the presence of God impacting every layer and facet of the church. So my final words to us today is that let's go and be the church. Jesus builds the church to send the church. The idea for the church is not for us to just gather and be happy with ourselves. The idea is that we get to a place where we are bold enough to be sent out. He sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70. And each and every time he sent them, he gave them commands. He gave them power. He gave them utterances. He gave them the plan of how to move. And he made provision available. The mission is not attendance, but I believe discipleship. The church is not an event. It is a mission. This week, I challenge us to live out the church, love, serve, and share Jesus. And I want each and every one of us to personally declare to ourselves that we will not just attend church, but that we will be the church. And so, you might have to sit down and ask yourself, what does the church look like? You are the church, not the seat you sit in. Worshiping, you can come. You are the church, not the songs you sing. You are the church, not the buildings you visit. Church, how many of us here have investments? Oh, you don't need to raise your hand. So no one knows that you have investments. But the intentions for having investments is to make interest on those investments, isn't it? Each and every one of us here, we are an investment. God has a plan. His plan is that His Son going back to Him, and now all of us walking around with the Holy Spirit moving in us, we are supposed to benefit heaven. We are supposed to depopulate hell and increase the numbers up in heaven. Yes. But I think that investment is losing, what do they call it? It's losing on returns right now. And I think we need to look carefully at those investments right now, because time is running out. There are many lives in this community that depend on us to be the light, to be the church. And we keep on holding on to Jesus like a relic, like a precious prize, and we don't want to give it, we don't want to share it. But it is in our sharing that He pours more into us. You see, if we stop sharing, we become like the Dead Sea. There is no flow. And if there is no flow, there is no need for you to be poured out into. It is time for us to pour out. And I dare us today, if you like, go out there and boldly speak the gospel. And let's mark this day and see what God will do. If He doesn't do anything, then it's up to Him.
Amen.
Today I shared a verse, I read a verse in Luke 5 verse 12. And he said about the guy with leprosy, he looked at Jesus and said, "Will you?" I don't think that's even a question we need to ask God. Will you do it? Because God is willing to. All we have to do is step out and move. Church, we are the temple. Remember that you carry His presence and you have the keys. Just in case you are out there this week and you are faced with a situation, remind yourself that you are the temple of God and that He dwells in you. Remember that you carry His presence, which is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Also be reminded that you have the keys. But what you lack is an understanding of how to use the keys. So begin to ask the Lord, how do I use the keys that I have at my disposal regarding this situation? You see, the disciples were faced with a child that had a sickness. And to them, all the analysis they did was that it might be from the sins of the fathers or from the mothers, or it might be something in their lineage. Which is why, whilst they were praying for him, nothing happened. And when they came to Jesus, Jesus showed them the keys. The revelation was that this one was set aside so that Christ will be glorified. And then we find Jesus at another time where these men were happy to stone a woman. And Jesus looks at them. Within the context of the revelation of understanding where they were at, He said, "I don't mind if you are willing to stone this lady. But can I just ask, if you don't have any sin, feel free, cast the first stone," knowing very well that they are sinful men. Church, this is where we have to come to. Where we begin to speak the wisdom of God over matters, over situations in a way that it challenges even the strongest of hearts and it melts them from a posture of stone to the heart of flesh. And so tonight my prayer is that God Himself will speak to us in a way that we will understand what we carry and who we are. And that when we go out, that we don't go out in fear or timidity, but we go out in the spirit of boldness and in the confidence in Him who is in us, that Christ will be glorified. To Him be all the praise right now. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.